Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, that's 5a, and we're on the second part, the bottom of the Amud. We're going to start four lines down in the wide lines towards the end of the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShuva Foundation. We are continuing to explain our Mishnah. Four lines down in the wide lines. And our Mishnah is describing things that are that can be done on Chol HaMoed for the public good. So in our previous recording, we talked about, in our previous two recordings, we talked about a number of public works that can be done on Chol HaMoed, such as fixing irrigation channels that have been clogged, fixing cisterns and wells that have debris in them, or even in a situation of need, digging a new cistern or well so people will have fresh water to drink, and fixing the highways and the market streets and the residential thoroughfares and the mikvahs, all of these things so that the public's needs can be met. So one of the things that we mention at the end of the Mishnah is mitzayinin et hakvarot. We mark the graves. So nowadays, we try to keep all of our dead people in cemeteries, and those cemeteries are clearly marked and they have walls around them, so you know when you're coming upon dead people. In a previous era, often it was the case that people were buried along the side of the road, or sometimes that you could come upon a dead person or a person's remains or pieces of a skeleton as you were, you know, walking through the world. And this is a problem both for personal tumah, but also particularly if you were carrying truma or anything that was consecrated and you stumbled upon a burial ground, it would become tame. So one of the things they did for the public good was to plaster the areas or plaster grave sites so that people would see them before they stumbled on them and would be able to avoid them so they wouldn't become tame. Okay, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, Remez letzion kvarot min haTorah minayin. Is there a hint, by which he doesn't mean exactly a proof, he says a hint, but is there a hint to the marking of graves from the Torah? Minayin, and what would be the source? Talmud Lomar comes to teach us, he quotes a verse. Now he does not quote it from the Torah, which is interesting. He quotes from Yechezkel, which will be the discussion, because maybe there is no hint in the Torah. But in Yechezkel, it says, in chapter 39 of Yechezkel, it says, V'ra'a etzem adam, if he will see the bone of a person, u'bana etzlo tziun, then he can build next to it a marker so that people will know about it. Now, this chapter of Yechezkel is a famous chapter. It is the war of Gog u'Magog. And it's going to be a giant war, and Gog and all of his minions are going to be slaughtered. So after the war, unfortunately, this is what happens after a war, there are going to be many unburied dead bodies, and they're going to have to go out through the country and fix and bury and, you know, recover from the war. So so there will be a lot of corpses that were out there, and they said they would go around and bury and mark the grave sites of all the dead bodies. So Amar le Ravina lo Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, and Ravina and Ravashi were the last generation of Amoraim. They were the ones that, they didn't put the finishing touches on the Gemara, but they basically pulled it all together. They were the main editors of the Babylonian Gemara. So Ravina says to Ravashi, Ha mekame delete Yechezkel. Ha is like a statement of, is it true that before Mikame, before Delete Yechezkel, that Yechezkel said this, Man Amar, did someone else say it? Who said it before Yechezkel? Vili Taimech, according to your reasoning, that it was Yechezkel who was the first person that said it, Hada Amar Rav Chista, it would be like what Rav Chista said. Davar ze mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu, this is a matter that was not taught in the Torah. Midivra Yechezkel ben Buzi lamadnu, we learned it from the words of Yechezkel ben Buzi, the prophet Ezekiel. So Rav Chista has an idea that that Yechezkel innovated a number of halachot that were not found in the Torah. He gives another example, which is in Yechezkel Mem Dalid, Kol ben nechar arel lev ve'erel basar lo yavo el mikdashi. Anyone who is any ben nechar, stranger, which means a non-Jew, would seem like, or a person who is an erel lev, uncircumcised of heart, or erel basar, or uncircumcised of flesh, they will not come and serve in my mikdash. Yechezkel is coming to explain that the kohanim are the ones who serve in the mikdash, and that next word, lisharteni, has to be taken out. It's not found here. It's found a little later in the verse when it says, only the kohanim, who are the children of Aaron, will come. They will come to the mikdash, lisharteni, to serve me, but it's in the wrong place here. So Yechezkel here has innovated the idea that a Kohen who is a heretic, that's what we're going to assume Erelev means, his heart has gone astray, or a Kohen who is uncircumcised may not serve in the Mikdash. And it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Gemara elsewhere, I don't remember exactly where it is, I think it's in Yoma, says that this Kohen is not uncircumcised because he's a heretic or because he is lazy or doesn't follow halacha. He's uncircumcised because in his family there's a history of death due to circumcision. And this particular Kohen had brothers who were circumcised and they died as a result of their circumcision. And that could be because of infection or because they were hemophiliacs. But after he had two brothers who died from circumcision, they were afraid to circumcise the third son, I think understandably so. And that's why he's uncircumcised. But nonetheless, Yechezkel says that he cannot serve in the Beit HaMikdash. And Rav Chisda says, this is not taught in Moshe's Torah. This is not taught in Midoraita. It's innovated by Yechezkel. It's a new commandment. But he says, Mekame Deleita Yechezkel, the same question. Before Yechezkel said it, Man Amar. Did anyone else say it? Meaning, if it's really a halacha, shouldn't it have been said earlier in the Torah? Ella, so this seems like Rav Ashi's answer to Ravina. Rav Ashi says, you're right, no one said it before Yechezkel. But Gemara Gemirila, it was an oral tradition, right? It was a teaching. Basically, we can associate Gemara Gemirila with Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It was a halacha orally given to Moses on Sinai. Va'ata Yechezkel, and Yechezkel came, Va'asmecha Akra, and he found a verse that supported it. Now, this is an unusual use of the word asmecha akra. Usually, when we use the word asmecha akra, which is sometimes we say the word asmachta, what it means is, here's a verse in the Torah or the prophets that supports a certain halachic idea, but it's not necessarily a proof, meaning the halacha may be midrabanan, or it might be halacha l'moshe misinai, but this is a supporting kind of it's not a proof, but it's a support for the idea. However, here Yechezkel is doing it slightly different. He didn't find a verse to support it. He wrote a verse to support it. So it's an unusual language. But basically what we're saying is that he took an oral tradition and wrote it down, which in and of itself has its own problem because oral traditions are supposed to remain oral. But Yechezkel had his own prophetic permission to write down his book of prophecy, and perhaps he was given permission within that to write down this oral teaching. So hacha, that's referring to the case of the uncircumcised Kohen. Hacha nami, so here too, related to marking graves, Gemara Gemirila, it's a oral tradition. Va'ata Yechezkel va'asmecha akra, and Yechezkel came and wrote a verse to codify the oral tradition. So that's the first answer. And the first answer is basically that the only written source is Yechezkel, but it is a halacha l'moshe misinai, an oral tradition that graves have to be marked. So I wrote that, I consider that to be answer number one to the question. Now we're going to give an additional 8 answers. So sach hakol, all in total, we're going to have 9 answers to this question of where do we learn that you're supposed to mark graves. So here is answer number 2. Rabbi Abahu Amar, Rabbi Abahu said, mehacha. He said, I will prove it from a verse that's actually in the Torah. And this is a verse related to the Mitzora, who is, you know, Mitzora chutz l'machaneh. He is an outcast. While he has this skin affliction, he's an outcast. And what it says is, V'tamei tamei yikra, impure, impure he shall call. So the Gemara understands this as, Tuma kora lo, v'omeret lo prosh. He calls out his tuma, meaning as he walks around, I mean, he should be outside of the city anyway, but when he comes into contact with a person, he calls out his tuma to them and he says, stay away from me, I'm tame. So what we learn from this is that when there is something that's tame, you should have a way of distancing people from it, just like you mark the grave so the people will keep their distance if they don't want to become tame. Rashi says a weird thing here. He says, Osim simanim al hatuma. You make markers on the tuma. So that's true for the graves, but he makes it almost sound like for the mitzora, almost like they had like a scarlet tuff on them that said, this guy is, or scarlet tet, like this guy is tame. And in the verse, it sounds like he says it orally, but maybe there was a visual marking on him as well that showed he was tame. V'chein amar Rabbi Uziel bar Brei to Rabbi Uziel. And so said Rabbi Uziel, who was the grandson of his namesake, Rabbi Uziel, Rabba, the great Rabbi Uziel. Tuma karlo v'ameret lo prosh. He would call out the fact that he was tame, and he would say, stay away from me, prosh, separate from me. V'hai lahacha hu da'asa? So the Gemara asked, but wait a minute, you're saying that tame yikra means that he's supposed to tell people to stay away from him because he's tame. But that's not how what we thought. That was the interpretation of that verse. Hahu mi bayale, I need that verse to teach a different teaching. Lichi d'tanya, as we learn in a braita, v'tame tame yikra, tzarich lahodia tza'aro l'rabim. Why does he call out that he's tame? He is expressing his pain and anguish publicly. V'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim, so that people will request mercy on his behalf. In other words, part of the atonement procedure for a mitzora is that he calls out his anguish, and when people see how miserable and unhappy he is, they say, oh, that poor man or poor woman, and they daven for him that he should quickly be healed from his tzaras and that he should come back into society. So according to the first version, it was for the benefit of the passers-by. Stay away from me, I'm tame, you don't want to become tame. According to the second version, it's on behalf of the mitzora himself, that people therefore should know to daven for him so he should get better. So that's the question, which is it? Im kain, the Gemara says, well, if it were true that that was the only thing you could learn from this verse, lichtov vitame yikra, it should have just said, and he calls out tame. My vitame tame, why does it say tame twice? Shemat mina tarte, we can learn from it both things. So the first time it says tame, we could learn from it, let's say, that he should express his pain in publicly so people will daven for him. The second time it says tame, it's so that people should know that he's tame and they should stay away from him if they don't want to become tame. Okay, third answer. And that, by the way, that answer seems to be an actual proof. It's unclear if that's an asmachta or a remez, or if it's an actual proof that they should mark the graves. Not 100% clear. Abaye Amar, so that was Rabbi Abahu. Abaye's answer, this is the third answer, he says, V'lifnei iver lo titein michshol. This is a general principle. Before a blind person, you shall not put a stumbling block. And we interpret this in a number of ways in halacha, but anytime that you are laying a trap, whether it's a physical trap or a word trap or an emotional trap in front of someone, you're allowing someone to come into sin, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to remove impediments from people. So here you have bones and carcasses in the field, and you should not have that stumbling block in front of someone who doesn't want to become tame. So that's where Abaye says it from, a very general principle, but a good one. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, this is the fourth answer from a different verse, and this is in Isaiah, Yeshayahu Nun Zayin Yudalid, where it says, Solu, solu panu derech, clear the ways, make a pathway. So here, what we're arguing here, what Rav Papa says is that the places where people walk should not have tuma on them. So if we're deriving it from here, it would seem less like a proof that you should mark the graves than that you should move the graves so that they are not on public thoroughfares. But maybe it means that you should route the public thoroughfares around the remains. I would have thought that Rav Papa, sometimes the Gemara quotes a verse, but it doesn't quote the part of the verse that the proof is from. So the second half of that verse, it says, solu solu panu derech, and the second half of the verse says, "Harimu michshol miderech ami." Lift up the michsholim, the impediments, from the ways of my people. However, that can't be because the fifth answer, which is Rav Chinana, he says, "Harimu michshol miderech ami." He quotes the end of the verse. So Rav Papa seems clearly like he's quoting the first part of the verse, which is "Panu derech Hashem," clear out the way of God. And Rav Chinana thinks it comes from "Lift up the impediment from my people." In any case, they're both similar, and I think quite similar to Abaye's. Abaye's is superior in that it comes from the Torah itself, whereas theirs are coming from Yeshayahu. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua Breder of Idi Amar, he gives a sixth answer, which is also from the Torah in Shmot. V'hodata lahem et haderech asher yelchuba. You shall let them know the way on which they shall go. So the advantage that this has over the previous examples, the previous three proofs, all seem to signify that you should remove impediments from before someone. This verse says you should let people know, which is much more similar to the topic at hand. By putting a marker on a grave, you're letting people know, and that seems to be what this pasuk in Vayikra is coming to teach us. Marzutra brings a seventh proof. V'hizartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumotam. You shall separate. That's the word. V'hizartem is like the word nazir, that you should separate the children of Israel from tuma. So the one way in which you'll separate from them is by marking the grave, so that they will be able to avoid it. Rav Ashi gives an eighth answer. Ushmartem et mishmarti. This is also a famous teaching. You shall guard my guarding. It's referring to truma. This is a general principle also that says like that asusiag l'Torah, make a fence around the Torah. In other words, guard. You're supposed to do the mitzvot in order to have a better life, and you have to guard the mitzvot so that you can do them better. So he says, Rav Ashi, asu mishmeret l'mishmarti, make an extra guard for my guard. So the mishmarti refers to truma, which is a way of keeping holy, and the mishmeret is a way of maintaining the holiness of the truma. In this case, he's saying, by having markers on the grave so the people carrying truma won't stumble on them and end up contaminating their truma. The final answer comes from Ravina. I'm four lines up from the bottom on the last word of the line. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, and he quotes a verse from Tehillim. This is Tehillim chapter 50. And the verse says, Visam derech, a person who places the way, erenu b'yesha Elohim, I will show him the salvation of God. Now Rashi interprets what it means, v'sam derech, is she'osin siman be'eze derech yelchu, that this is referring to a signpost. In other words, you come to a intersection, and the signpost tells you which way to go, so you can follow the sign and get to your destination. That's what it means, v'sam derech. So this is very related to our topic because it has to do with marking, but in this case, marking the right way, the way that you want to go, as opposed to marking a grave. But he's going to learn it from here that you should mark the way so that people know which way to go and which way not to go. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's Ribal. So it says Aribal, that's Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol ha, now, we're going to see how he does this. He's going to change the word from sam, which is to place, like lasim, to sham. Now, sham is a different verb, and it means to evaluate the monetary value of something. In other words, like you bring your antique to Antique Roadshow, and they tell you how much it's worth. That's called lashum, to evaluate the worth of something. So he's making a wordplay. He's changing it from kol hasam, he who puts a marker, to kol hasham, to he who evaluates the worth of something. Kol hasham or chotav, so anyone who does cheshbon hanefesh, who really thinks about the right way to live their life. Rashi says, hamachashev hefsid mitzvah keneged schara, as Pirkei Avot says, like he should consider the value of doing a mitzvah and the value in a aveira before he does his actions. That person will merit to see the salvation of Hashem. Meaning, if you're a person who does cheshbon nefesh, who really thinks about your mitzvot and your aveirot, then you will end up being successful and you will experience the salvation, presumably in Olam Haba, of Hashem. Shenemar, as it says, v'sham derech, v'sam derech, he shall place away, al tikri v'sam, don't read it as v'sam, ela v'sham, read it as v'sham. This is hard to see in the Gemara because the Gemara has no vowels. So it looks like al tikri v'sham, ela v'sham. It looks exactly the same. So you have to put the dot, you have to understand what they're doing. I put the dot in there. Al tikri v'sam, don't read it as to place, ela v'sham, but to evaluate the worth. Derech, the person who evaluates their way, erenu b'yesha Elohim, I will show him, that's what actually means, I will show him, says Hashem, the salvation of God. Now we're going to give an example of this, because what the Gemara is interpreting this Cheshbon HaNefesh, as opposed to what Rashi said, is kind of like an emotional intelligence. They're going to tell a story where a person has to realize what situation they're in and act in a way that is appropriate. And that's what we call EQ in general, a sort of an emotional intelligence. Rabbi Yane havile hahu talmida. Rabbi Yane had a certain student. D'chol yoma havi makshile. Every day he would question him. In other words, the guy was, I don't know if he was a, he wasn't a bad student, he was a good student, but he was a troublesome student. He always had questions in class. He was always hocking Rabbi Yanai and asking him questions. He was always the first guy in line to ask him after class, like, but Rebbe said this, but Rebbe said that. Like, he was always giving him a hard time. It's unclear if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It may be a good thing. After all, lo habayshan lomed. You can't learn if you don't. If you're too shy to ask questions. However, here's what the student did. Usually in regular class, he bothered him all the time. But b'shabata t'rigla, on the Shabbos of the festivals, lo hava makshile. He didn't give him a hard time and he didn't ask questions. Now, it's not 100% clear what it means by b'shabata t'rigla, but it means these were special occasions, like maybe like a yomiyun, when a lot of people who didn't ordinarily come to class would come to class. So instead of being his regular little Gemara class, it was like a big public lecture. So in shir, he would give Rabbi Yanai a hard time, but when he was giving a big public lecture, he didn't. Now, Rashi says the reason for this is he didn't want to embarrass Rabbi Yanai. If in shir, and there's a few guys there, and he asks him a hard question, and Rabbi Yanai doesn't know the answer, so he'll say, I don't know. And then he'll go figure out what the answer is and come back the next day. But if he's in front of hundreds of people in a big public lecture, and he asks him a hard question, and Rabbi Yanai doesn't know, he'll be embarrassed. So he was measuring the question of like, should I seek the truth and ask this hard question so I understand the sugya better? That's one way of doing it. Or should I take the risk that I might embarrass Rabbi Yanai, which would be an avera? So he was like evaluating the worth of the two options. I think there's another way to look at it. Maybe he just didn't want to be a nudge. You know that guy, like it's a big public usher, there's hundreds of people there, and there's one guy that keeps hogging all the questions and delaying the shir by asking all his questions. That's kind of selfish. You're not thinking about everybody else there. Maybe to ask one or two questions, but not to be like such a bulldog. So perhaps that's the reason. Let's just flip the page. We'll do one more line. So Rabbi Yanai said about this student, Karei Alei, he quoted the verse for him, Vishsam Derech Erenu B'yesh Elohim. And he who evaluates his way, who thinks about what the right thing to do is, he is the one that I will show the salvation of Hashem. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.